Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning. This is great day today. Today is Thursday, April 4th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today I'm trending, apparently. Today I am trending, and I see that the people at that Tribune radio station call my name. They call me all kind of manner of things, the devil and Lucifer and all kind of things. But I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because that's a good Christian man. And the Bible says you can't touch God's anointed, and I'm one of those chosen ones who are mandated for a purpose. I analyze the news, I analyze what is trending, and I do introspection, interrogation of what all is happening in the Bahamas, and that's what I do. I fret not. That's why I get one or two acclaims here and recognition for what I do. So what is trending, and who is this Adrian person? Today I want to talk about declaration, and I suppose of my partner Aaron Green, who is out there talking to our manager, the station manager, and forgetting that she's supposed to be the co-host with me today to read the news part. But I shall continue whilst I wait on her. Today we're talking about declaration and importance of it, right? We see the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party headline. Let me go see if I can find that and read that. Stating about declaration, Mitchell's disclosures, and basically saying that don't come to him, right? Go to those who are in charge of managing the disclosure. Again, that's the chairman who we have been asking if he is inept at his job and whether we should demand that members of parliament declare. We found out that on March 1st, all members of parliament, including permanent secretaries, parliamentary secretaries, and government officials, senior government official, is mandated to declare. That's supposed to be March 1st. Then they extended to March 31st, and that they supposed to declare. And we find out that if you do not declare, it's punishable by a fine, punishable by jail time. But the leader of the opposition and the prime minister must make a case or make a complaint to the police force, and then the system goes into working, right? We know that they're not doing it. And when you see flippancy of the chairman to man, it's none of your business. We see that clearly declaration is not important. We know in the past we have had prime ministers who have not declared. Perry Christie, Ingram, who waited late, days before in terms of deadline and declaring, right? But we also found out that former members of parliament supposed to declare for 4 years after they have abdicated their seats. So my conversation today is whether we need to be concerned happening in the Bahamas today. I want to talk about a topic, if it wasn't for losing a shoe. I think that's how the poem goes. If it wasn't for losing the shoe, the castle wouldn't be gone. Someone needs to text me back and give me that correct quote, right? For the loss of a shoe, the house burned down of some sort. Recently, we had a tragedy. We had a tragedy where a member of parliament was murdered. Condolences to the family and so on regarding that. We, the Bahamas, all came together for this tragedy, right? and demand that action is done. The police were swift in terms of finding three culprits who they allegedly accused for this heinous crime. We don't know the details as yet of why, when, where, if it's robbery as yet, but we wait patiently because we have an efficient police force. There has been a number of speculations. Bahamians like to speculate. Gossip mongers, right? They created and crafted all kinds of stories regarding what may and mean things. That's what we are, right? Unfortunate. But now we see that at this present time, they've concluded that it's more likely it's robbery was the cause of it, right? So the entire Bahamas rallied behind the family in support because we are not used to politicals being targeted, right? Recently, there is a GoFundMe started. And for the person, the deceased, and they're asking for the general public to participate in that, right? But the GoFundMe was not started by the immediate family. So it was an outcry, a concern, whether this GoFundMe is real. Especially when the GoFundMe said it's for somebody named Adrian in some foreign country. Especially when the GoFundMe is not by immediate relatives. It's a concern. And you looking for a pen, Aaron?
I have one.
You have one? I already know what mine is. That's right with mine just now. So then we found out that the GoFundMe and a letter or an instruction or the blurb, the explanation was done by someone named Fadda, F-A-D-D-A. And he said, that's some flippancy type serious for a serious minded thing. This can't be real. This can't be sincere. So you know me, I interrogate things. I say, man, can't be asking the public for money and this look like a play thing. But apparently it is real. Apparently it is real and people are asking money, people to participate. So this is what I'm going to ask Aaron Green. I interrogated this and person's critique is saying, no, this is a serious minded thing and it shouldn't be interrogated. But I'm asking if this involves a politician, right? If monies are being asked for a politician for whatever reason, can there be interrogation on the validity of it?
So, I mean, we understand people in their grief, people being uncomfortable, people in their discomfort, not wanting to have these types of conversations so soon after someone has passed away. I really appreciate that. Somebody passing away in our own personal discomfort does not negate the need for critical interrogation. I think critical interrogation is warranted when we talk about politicians, right? We're not talking about an ordinary citizen. We're talking about someone who has served in government. We're talking about someone who is a high-ranking member of a political party and who still functions, right, as a part of that political party. Don Sanders was an MP in the last administration, in the Minnis-led administration.
Yes, he was Deputy Speaker of the House.
Right. The Public Disclosure Act requires cabinet ministers, MPs, to declare for 5 years after they've left office, right? And so there's, as a part of the culture, this type of exposure should be expected. This type of interrogation should be expected.
So you're saying that as a part of our democracy, once a political is involved, the public should expect people to interrogate whatever it is that they're doing.
Absolutely. See, in a healthy society, you have trusted entities, social mechanisms like NGOs who you would trust to do this work, right? And you would say, oh, it's having a conversation about this. Let's tune in and find out why they're having a conversation and what it's about. Because we lack these mechanisms in our society and we have this massive trust deficit, right? We don't trust institutions, we don't trust entities, we don't trust political parties, we don't trust government, we don't trust each other. Right? And that, in part, is fostered by the fact that we don't have entities, mechanisms, organizations that in their work, they build trust, right? They build or they showcase or highlight the integrity of the infrastructure of a space. We don't have that. We can't even get politicians to declare and disclose.
They care not to declare. And they care not to disclose.
Well, they care not to ensure that it's gazetted. If it's not gazetted, then as far as we're concerned, it has not been done. And I think that's the part that politicians miss. It's not sufficient for a commissioner, a leader of the opposition to get up and say, oh, well, I know that my people have declared. We know nothing until it has been gazetted, right? For those people who are uncomfortable about a critical interrogation of this nature, perhaps we wouldn't be having this conversation if the other mechanisms, government mechanisms, constitutional mechanisms, social mechanisms were working.
Recently, I've been called Lucifer, today, in fact, on that other radio station.
You mean the Morning Star because you shine in light?
Can you imagine? No, they call me the devil himself because I dare to say, hey, I don't believe this is real. This can't be real because it's not from the immediate family.
Well, I tell you what, if I saw a GoFundMe attempting to raise $300,000 plus?
Over a quarter of $1 million. We got to call it $1 million for this. Over a quarter of $1 million. Go ahead.
So over $250,000.
Yes.
And the site says that the petition was started by someone who identifies himself as
Adrian. Who is this Adrian person?
Just one person?
And then the write-up is written by a father. F-A-D-D-A. And they believe educated people like me supposed to say, okay, I'm going to send my good
Remember,
money.
A couple of days ago, a caller, or a texter actually, asked about looms and scams and
yes.
Ponzi schemes.
Yes.
And I think we have legislation that would deal with this or would provide recourse if, in fact, this is a scam. But if I were talking to a young person and they said to me, hey, Aaron, I would like to support this cause. What do you think about it? I would say to them, you should do some more research and find out who the Adrian is and find out who the father what?
His father.
Who the father.
F-A-D-D-A, father.
Who that person is as well before you donate. It's called due diligence, right? And it's not just something that is important in this particular instance. This is where we sort of highlight it. But we should expect people in their professional spaces to operate in that same way.
Aaron, I'm a private individual. My family business stay in my family mm-hmm. or to my immediate friends.
Yeah.
I found it alarming for a successful person, a politician, to be asking for handouts. That's just me. It's something foreign for me. And then when I cannot trace the source in terms of, I understand it's the person's brother, the person's mother, the person's uncle, and a reason, a rational reason of what, right? It's their business, it's private. I have nothing to scrutinize, nothing to interrogate.
Mm-hmm.
But someone brought someone's family business
into the public domain
and saying they need help. And because it's in the public domain, and I am a blogger, this is how I make my extra money on my gig, I do critical analysis on things and get sponsorship for such, right? I see it. I got to be critical. And only one person is to blame for bringing people personal business out. And I want to ask you now, if, just a different scenario, should a politician have life insurance? Is this a mandate or would they be considered as bankrupt?
Wow. Right, but there's no, I don't think there's a legal requirement that you have to have life insurance to be a politician or a cabinet minister or to serve at the pleasure of the prime minister. I don't think...
To be able to be a member of parliament and run, you cannot be bankrupt.
Right, but I don't think not having life insurance means that you're bankrupt. Bankrupt.
My question is... in terms of being a professional, and not this particular case, we're just analyzing things. This is unfortunate. And again, all of this came about because someone decides to put people's personal business to be interrogated, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not me. I just do what I do in response to what other people does, right? If you bring people, family's business, to now have people question whether they were able to function properly as a business person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not trying to add on things, right? Should we, inside this climate of non-disclosure, should we question was non-bankrupt? Now, see, this isn't brought on by me. It says brought on by the people who started this conversation. And I'm now responding to the conversation.
We could even create some greater distance from this particular situation. I think an important principle for the modern world is to understand that anything that is put into the public domain belongs to the public domain. When I say that, is what I mean. You can't take it back.
You can't take it back.
Now, there are laws that govern this area. For instance, if someone maliciously shares images of you, images that were sent only to you, right? You share them intended to defame, intended to do something. I'm not sure if we have those laws in this jurisdiction, but we know that in our cousins to the north and our cousins northeast. So we know that there are jurisdictions that have legislation that cover these matters. But I think the important principle is what you give to the world, you can't take back. But also... what you give to the world, you cannot tell the world how to interpret it. The world will interpret it however they want. The world will interrogate it however they want. You can't put a story out and then tell the audience you are only allowed to read the story from this particular way, from this perspective, with this intention. And so I think that's the important principle, especially for young people. I think it's most important for young people to understand that what they put on the internet will remain on the internet until the internet is destroyed. And even then, somebody may have pulled it and saved it and kept it on an offline server for their own use or pleasure. Now, when it comes to the political class, I think that it's important for people to understand what the political class is. The political class isn't just a politician, it's the people directly.
Well, you're married to an oil. Your wife and your husbands and even sometimes your brothers and sisters.
And that's why now when you go politically exposed.
I am a politically exposed person.
Mm-hmm.
I know opening a bank account was an issue for me. And I said, I don't even know a politician personally.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently I am now a politically exposed person. And I have to declare certain things when opening a bank account.
Right.
Me, a little jabroni. So when I see other politicals and actors not declaring, I wonder what's going on in this country.
Right.
I have a text here I want to read. It says, great show as usual. A politician not having life insurance doesn't mean you're a bankrupt, but it does mean that the person is socially irresponsible. I just want to read that also. Great show, Mr. Nuri. Remember that one MP don't have a bank account. So no life insurance is not unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. So a number of people are texting in to say that the cover letter, the fundraising platform, that statement indicates who father is.
I don't really believe the father should have been asking in the first place. And I'm not sure what he's asking for.
There's another element of the critique.
My point is... from the bio of the deceased,
mm-hmm.
he's a very successful man. Mm-hmm. The report says that he's a successful lawyer and businessman. Mm-hmm. He have a couple good long dollars, properties, and involved with some of the biggest law firms in the Bahamas. He's not ordinary. He's one of the best we have. But we all have bills. But when a political asks for help financially, there needs to be introspection, interrogation as to what's gone wrong. That's open to the public because you are a politically exposed person, and the entire Bahamas should start asking questions. I know you might have soft spots, but that's my friend. But as a politically exposed person and you are asking for financial help, I need to know why. And that's a given. That's a given. I see I have a caller here. Mm-hmm. The caller hang up. I just coming to you, caller. Sorry about that, caller. You can call back. The number today are 323-623. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, if you're calling long distance on the family island, you can call 242-300-5720. I see I have that call again. The producer there? Press the button for me, Aaron, please. Welcome to Garden Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, Aaron Green is...
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Yeah, I heard you open your show with Fred Mitchell. I remember one time I mentioned to you, but you say leave your MP alone.
Yes, so please leave my MP alone.
You mentioned earlier that we have a democracy. Well, you know, I teach my kids the truth. We have an oligarchy system. There's nothing so democratic in this country. When I've been exposed to managers who have 7 passports, including a Bahamian passport, and who can tell me point blank that piracy is alive and well in the Bahamas because we have 2 gang cultures. And, you know, gangs have their symbols. We have 2 cultures, one where yellow and one where red. But yet still they want to pass legislation against the other gangs. But, you know, that's just the way we live in here now. And when it comes to this GoFundMe, you know, you have the YouTubers who are going into Haiti and faking being kidnapped.
Mm.
You know, it's all about the money and being an opportunist. But, you see, we live in a satirical culture. Now, you look at the word Satan. You can see, you can get the word sun out of that. You can get Satan out of that. And you can get turn out of that. And when you turn your back on the Son of God, you end up facing Satan. And this is where most of the countries in the world are looking at and embracing the sectarian culture to assist the general masses unless they want to see the truth. We are moving away from the Son of God, and we are facing Satan. And I think I remember hearing a phrase by that boxer, Tyson, and he said, point blank, you know, when God favors you, Satan favors you more. And it's much easier to follow the path of Lucifer, saying that you've been called similar, because there's wealth temporarily in that, and you don't have to work too hard. You can get an easy, quick buck. And that's the way the satirian culture works. And this is what we have in this country today. We have 2 gangs leading the culture, red and yellow, and they pin us against one another to keep us confused. And so here we are. The thing for you to do now is to realize what we are dealing with and pass your way through all of this maze. Because it's not going to get any better as long as we worship in Satan.
Thank you very much,
Colin. And it looks like we're going to continue to do that until Christ comes.
Thank you very much, Colin.
All right.
I have a text here that said all senior civil servant workers and senior officials personnel are also required to file disclosure, right? It also includes the head of the police force and the defense force.
I think understanding the sensitivity of the
I'm not trying to base anything. I'm just analyzing again.
I think it's important for the political class to acknowledge that the political class now becomes a victim of a culture that it perpetuates. If public disclosures had been gazetted the way they ought to be, the law and the Constitution, the nature of this this conversation would be an entirely different conversation.
Yes.
Right? And so you have your feelings. They're yours. They're valid because they're yours, right? But only in that context. Understand that the interrogation, the critical interrogation of the matter would look different if the political class led the demand for the gazetting of public disclosures and declarations.
My question is there space for critical interrogation? There got to be space for critical interrogation when it has to come when it comes to politicians and politics.
That a politician would expect there be no interrogation, that they would demand that there would be no interrogation, that they would victimize those that dare to interrogate, indicates that they don't even understand what democracy is supposed to be at its ideal.
Let's go to the callers. But this text says, good day, Mr. Nuri. How could he not have life insurance and have a mortgage? Just wondering. That's the Bahamas. I see people get a whole house for free. And they think it's possible in this country. But let's go to the callers here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm great, Mr. Nuri. How are you doing?
I'm always blessed. Blessings to you.
Yes, thank God for life, man. I want to get back to you with a question, but I just want to say something to Ms. Green. Ms. Green.
Morning, sir.
A couple... Yes, good morning. I apologize.
No,
good
I
morning.
Saying, you know what
Good morning to your listening audience as well. A couple of weeks ago, I had called in and I had asked you if you know if it was any true about someone was circulating about a payment that was given back to, I think, one of the former members of parliament who was put before the court.
Listen, I don't remember the question, and I don't know the answer now that I hear the question.
You going?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a call back. Oh, whole line's gone blank just now. Something must have went wrong with the phone. Sorry about that caller. But yeah, man, I'm disrespectful. I see the caller coming down. We have to take a commercial break. My thing is that we should expect our politicians to be interrogated. And the idea that private information has been made public, you should expect what happens. And I find that strange.
And like I said, it's a conversation that's important, even if we take it out of the realm of this particular instance or incident. Just a conversation this morning about the engagement of drone programs, right? And the question of a balance of rights, your right to privacy, the need to ensure public safety and the public good. This conversation takes place in that domain as well. It takes place in the domain when we're talking about the crime and the number of murders and how much information is required to solve a murder. What's the line when you begin to invade or breach my right to privacy in your interrogation or investigation for a crime, right? These are questions that we have to grapple with as an evolving society.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break now. Call, I saw you, saw the lights blinking, but after this commercial break, you can call back and you'll be first. This has been Guardian Radio with AM with C.A. Nuri, who is trending all over these other people's radio station, but I'm used to it.
The excitement, the fierce competition, the entertainment. On May 4th and 5th, our Bahamian athletes will compete with hundreds of the best from around the world to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics.
Gardner takes the title.
Come witness history as our athletes chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the 2024 World Athletic Relays. May 4th, MSA Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
Beulah Gad, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycle?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.3.
Friday, April 5th. Get ready for another exciting Fish Fry Friday. At Margaritaville, downtown Nassau, featuring the big band Visage and DJ Beats with the latest in soca, Bahamian, and old school jazz. Everybody take
a drop. Come to party, I like y'all, don't want no man.
$25 general admission, $55 buffet and party.
Doors open at 6:30 p.m., party until 11:30 p.m. That's April 5th, Fish Fry Friday. The stage has been moved, so you've got more dancing space.
This Friday, April 5th, at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau.
Parking at the Point for only $10. See you at Fish Fry Friday, April 5th, with the big band Visage.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is CA Nourish, and make sure I'm on and hearing myself. And I see I have a call up, but I know, Aaron, that you're supposed to be doing a walkathon this weekend, and you need sponsors for that. I know you haven't walked in a minute because you had a bad leg the other day. So I want to pledge some money for you, but I can talk about that soon. I just want to let people know that Aaron doing a walkathon and she needs some pledges. You can always bring that money to Guardian Radio too. But let's go to this caller. Go ahead, caller. This is Guardian Radio AM with C. Henry.
Good morning. I get $5 to put with your whatever that is.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you.
It's actually $5 a mile. Is it $5 a mile?
It's $5 a block.
It's not a mile going? A block?
Yeah, I mean, you just... As opposed to you paying me a certain amount of money for...
If I can find 10, maybe I guess you got it more than 5.
Yeah, I got to match you. Whatever you do, I got to match.
Double it.
Yeah, I got to double it.
Yeah. Listen, so, but Dawn, the question you asking right now, talking about Dawn, and I don't know if I get a chance to say it quickly yet, that condolences, family, I don't like that what happened. I think Dawn was a decent person. Nothing to do with politics. I wasn't on the same side with him. Mm-hmm. I think PLP is to like him. He's well loved. Everybody saying decent things about him. Everybody get a side and they like, what, he ain't perfect. None of us perfect. Mm-hmm. And Dawn was a decent one of us.
Yes.
And if it's any truth that they doing the GoFundMe page for whatsoever reason, I don't have a problem with it. You know why? Because our decent Dawn was, how helpful he was, all mm-hmm. the pro bono cases for people for free, helping PLP's F&M. Black and white people. He was so respectful and decent. So I don't mind. And it wouldn't be a surprise. Politicians in the past, they die broke. Ain't all of them all about friends, family, lovers, and trying to enrich and empower themselves. You know, a lot of them there for service. Any of them have the wrong intentions when it comes down to service. People like a Dawn Sanders, I don't know. I ain't getting in the money part. I don't care if he had it or if he don't have it. If they have the money and they must do the GoFundMe pages, I think he's deserving of it. And whatsoever it happened, I hope justice just go wheresoever it's supposed to go. All right? So whatsoever happened in the Dawn Sanders or this GoFundMe page, it could be interrogated, but I wouldn't waste too much time. If you really know Dawn, he's one unfortunate one of us. And
but
one unfortunate.
He's not organizing this, by the way.
Who was decent, huh?
He's not organizing this.
Dawn dead, brother. What you mean he ain't
organizing? That's my point. We try and interrogate people who organize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, even if it's his family. Hey, listen.
No, it's not his family. It's not his family.
Nuri, do what you got to do, right? Do
there you
your
go.
Part because you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yes.
But I'm saying Dawn was special, so
yes.
We don't care. We care less if they do the government. Whatever, just bury him decent, man.
Yes. They put an announcement on ZNS when his state funeral is going to be. So I'm glad to hear that too. So like I said, we are interrogating the process and the people behind it, not the good gentleman. We know the gentleman is good, and we show a sympathy and empathy towards his family. That's not the conversation today. Right? So back to Aaron.
Let me just make the point that when I draw in... the public disclosure conversation, it's not an indictment on Mr. Sanders either. It's an indictment on a political class that would allow a set of circumstances to sit that then renders us to speculate. If those doing what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it, right, you would then be protecting Saunders from any scurrilous, any uncouth, any untoward, if I could reference Mr. Mitchell's words himself, when he talks about the nasty false narratives about Dawn Saunders, right? That if you do what you know you ought to do when you know you ought to do it, it is less likely that those things can arise into the public domain, right? Stop shifting the blame on others and focus on doing what it is you know you ought to do and ensure you do it when you know you ought to do it.
Whose job it is to keep the government accountable?
Mine and yours and every citizen.
A lot of behemoths even the are advocating members, that responsibility.
Even the members of the party. See, that's a beautiful thing. The members of the party have a responsibility to hold the party to account to its own rules and regulations. That's why I continue to highlight this construct or this idea that a party's ability or capacity to govern can be operate within their own party framework and infrastructure. It is a snapshot. They can do no more in government than they can do in their own party. Mm. Right? So the call that Davis's biggest job will be to cause and compel his party members, citizens of the nation, to discipline themselves. Right? That's his biggest job. Mm. If he can't get his own party members to discipline themselves, how will he get the country to discipline itself?
My point is, I would have done all of this differently. God forbid that is one of my family members who needed support. I would have gone to my family members first. Let's be internal thing. Then I might have gone to my political party, then all the rich people, instead of bringing all my family business and insecurities out to the general public to debate. That's just me. But I have this text say, while I understand that the critical analysis of public service is necessary, the excessive, dehumanizing, and insensitive bludgeoning of such public servants, even in debt, speaks to colonized minds of Bohemian public commentators.
Again, it's
the former colonizers would be proud. They taught us well. I'm not sure if they mean in us or if they meaning the negative rumors and harsh and belittling things that were circulating inside
the excessive dehumanizing and insensitive public service. You mean like the sort of dialogue and discourse we see or statements we see coming from
the House Assembly? From politicians?
From BahamasUncensored.com?
Mm. And we're not sure who's the one of that.
From all of these social media sites purporting to support political parties or individual party members, again, the indictment lies on a political class.
It's a culture we breed.
That creates this culture. Who created the environment for this type of engagement? The indictment is not on Dawn Saunders. It is on a political class that operates in a way that creates this environment. It's like a Fred Mitchell getting up and telling us that we need to begin to remove the violence from politics.
Are we mature enough to have these type of conversations? Or we as Bohemians are immature and say, no, let's leave this alone. We cannot have a civil conversation.
We are mature enough to have the conversation. We, though, need to be to support each other sitting in our discomfort as we talk about the difficult but necessary things.
The difficult but necessary things. Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guy and Radio AM with C. Henry.
Hey, good morning again.
Good morning, cousin.
Listen, Mr. Reed, the text you read just now about the person saying, I guess they upset with the way you guys are always talking about what's going on in politics. But it they make it easy for us to talk these kind of things when they don't do what they are supposed to do and how they are supposed to do it. You know, because listening to you guys talk in my mind is on one thing. How is Mr. Pinky Smith being paid? Who is collecting his pay? Is he being paid through a friend who don't have a bank account? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if they want us to stop talking like this, then they need to speak to these, because apparently they may be close to these persons while they catch a feeling. speak to these person and tell them, listen, what you're doing, the people don't like it. Do better so they can talk better.
Forget
if they
people.
Do good, we would be all about talking about the good they do.
The Constitution don't like it.
Exactly. So if you don't want to hear the way me, I just talk about it. Because I would say more worse things than you're hearing on the radio. But because I respect for people, I don't say it publicly. But you understand me? However, at the end of the day, I will tell my friends and family, whom I'm close to, listen, this is what I'm hearing. It's not good. It doesn't look good. And at the end of the day, you may live to regret it. So guess what? Let's do it differently. You know, just because you're in there, you don't have to go under the status quo. Stand out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Right. Thanks very much. I have a text here. It says, good morning. So they're really trying to say that the smart, learned man like Mr. Sanders would leave his family unsecured like that? Is that what they're really saying? I'm a small fry. I work from payday to payday. And guess what? I pay my life insurance every month. And I have three kids to think about.
That's not what they're saying.
Things happen.
Right? They're just saying, hey, there are a number of outstanding bills or costs, and
they want us to pay off the million-dollar house.
We are seeking support from the public.
Mm-hmm. But there are people in the party who can pay off this with ease. We could have gone to them first quietly, but no one had to know anything. That's what I'm saying. With ease. When I say ease, it's like $10 in their pocket, who love him and secure him with no one in the public ever knowing what now. And say, but why are you going out and give all this information out? Who give you authority to give all this information out when you could have come to me and I said, man, that done. That he's my boy. He's a good gentleman. Why you bring this out?
I can tell you why. Two years ago, right after the pandemic, I was in the food store, and this elderly white Bahamian gentleman stopped me as I was coming in the store to ask me if I could help him buy groceries for his father. And I look at him, I said, listen, I could put $5 on the Y. Right? I just said I could put $5 on it.
Mm.
Right? And so I making my try, and I thinking, why would this older white man come to me and ask me to help him? He said, okay, whatever, I've done it. And I said to myself, I imagine how old is his daddy?
Mm.
If he is this old, how old is his daddy?
Mm.
Right? Now, what I also remember is that I too was politically exposed. Mm-hmm. I don't know, my mother's been out of government now for a number of years, right? Mm-hmm. But because my mother's a longstanding civil servant, I was perceived I am politically exposed.
Mm-hmm.
What he didn't know is I'm also financially exposed to debt and ruination, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know that. He has no idea.
Mm-hmm.
All he know is he probably seen my face and I look, he remember Lela Green. And I sound like Lela Green. And then I use these words like Jeff Lloyd, like I could afford to buy words for fun, for lunch, for free, right? As far as he was concerned, I look like I could do it. I look like I could handle the why. I look like I was politically exposed. He had no idea he didn't know that I reduced my $10 expenditure to $5 because I gave him five of the dollars. He had no idea. Sometimes you don't even realize that you are politically exposed because you say to yourself, my relation to this person doesn't change my economics. It doesn't change my political standing. It doesn't change my safety or lack of safety in the community. It doesn't change my ability to pay my bills, to put more than $7 of gas in my car at a time. Being related to this person changes nothing for me except now I am faced with more hardship. I gotta, like you say, I gotta fill out more questions, more forms. But in no real material way does it improve my life, right? And that's the plight of many politically exposed people.
I have a text here saying that we don't know if Sanders knew any rich people. He's just trying to beat me. That text is just trying to beat me.
I agree with you, Texter. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know if
I know a couple of multimillionaires inside his political party.
Not which political party? Not the FNM.
No multimillionaires.
The same FNM that can't have convention.
They can't even afford that. They hurting bad. You have a point. Brave Davis was to pay for the whole thing. I bet you that.
In fact, I implore Brave Davis to pay for the FNM convention for the sake of democracy.
I'm willing to say that Brave Davis might pay for the FNM convention so they could talk about it. Let Mr.
I mean, that's not why I want him to do it, but that's not why I want him to do it. But for the sake of democracy, you know, when you go to court, the judges say, "Boss man, you have a lawyer," and you say, "No." So you want a lawyer? You say no, and then the judge look at you and say, "Boss, you need a lawyer." You have the weight of the court. You have the weight and the resources of the whole state, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, against you. One, you need a lawyer, and you deserve to have the best representation possible. In the same way, I think that the PLP want to have the best opponent possible, since they don't rhyme. I think the PLP should pay for the next FNM convention to ensure that they are operating according to their constitution and that they have the capacity to actually govern if they get back at the helm again.
Let's pivot. I just want to have a sober conversation. And
Go,
show
you're
that,
saying that I was talking...
No. Just say that, show that it is possible to have a discussion, a mature discussion.
Yeah.
And as we always do, we interrogate things and show that interrogation is not a bad thing. It's not a sinful thing. It's not a devilish thing. It is a part of
and
democracy.
And it's not an attack.
And it's not an attack.
And how could it be an attack when inherent in our constitutional obligations is a duty to critique the state and ensure that it's doing its job properly? In that critique, we may find that we, the individual, we are the missing link. And because we are not fulfilling our role as citizens, the state fails, right?
Yes.
The critique is not always an indictment on the state itself.
You are walking Saturday. Is this Saturday?
I jog in. I move in on Saturday.
This Saturday,
April the 6th, St. John's College.
There is a sponsor sheet, walk-a-thon sponsor sheet that is being circulated where people sponsor you, mm-hmm. Aaron Green, for walking.
Right. My aim.
And I already pledged, right, yeah, that I plan to sponsor you. And I'm asking people to join me in sponsoring you for walking in this marathon.
All right. My aim is to raise a minimum of $250. Mm-hmm. I'm asking people to sponsor me $5 each. Mm-hmm. Right? There are two routes. There's the on-campus route for people who are able on their feet, for elderly members of the family, the community who want to join the walkathon. And there is an extended external route. The second route, we're going Bishop Eldon Drive to Bethel Avenue, to JFK, McKinney Avenue, Johnstone Avenue, back to Bethel Avenue, back to Bishop Eldon Drive. That's the second route. I'm inviting the public to sponsor me and or any member of the Hannah Hasty Tynes family that is walking. Right now, I know I have a competitor, Mr. Newry. We have a small race taking place. Erin mm-hmm. Broke Foot Green on a path to recovery versus Esther Hannah Culmer.
You walking against Esther Hannah?
Yeah.
Oh, I might doubt. How much money are you sponsoring you?
I think you should. I think because she's been training.
Esther Hannah training?
She's been practicing.
Yeah? You don't believe you can outwalk Esther Hannah Culmer?
Well, here's what I say, and I believe I can have a good time with her as we walk.
So,
I think I could beat her.
Where can I bring the anyone who else want to join me for the $5, where can they bring the $5 with?
Okay, you could bring the $5 here of Erin Green or C.A. Newry for the HHT South Out and Walkathon, or
you have today and tomorrow, Friday,
right? Or you could come out on Saturday.
And come out on Saturday. Where Saturday?
In fact, I say to people, come out and make sure I walk in. Mm-hmm. Come out and make sure I don't have on my roller skates. Come out and make sure I do in the walkathon. That's Saturday. The walkathon starts at 7. The South Out at 8. You can call 424-7228 or 455-7242 to make arrangements to have your donation picked up, have your ticket dropped off to you for the South Out. South Out tickets are $12. Listen, let me tell you what is meta. Eating pig feet sauce while you watch Erin sousing her pig's feet on that walk. That's meta. Mm. I'd pay to see that.
So $5 a block.
Yeah, $5 a block.
Okay.
And you say you're going to match Papa's $5?
Yeah, Papa didn't say 10.
I know how I can pick up Papa's $10, but if he tell me where to come and pick it up.
I can tell you where to come.
And I'll
I can
go
tell
pick
you
up,
where to go.
Where to go, and I'll go pick up his $10 and match Papa's $10. And if Papa go to 20, I'll match Papa's $20 also. My wife can complain. All of lunch money he's spending. But I'll match whatever Papa says.
And listen, and at the South
Side. I ain't walking, by the way. I just letting you know. But I mean, I'll sponsor you for walking.
I can be honest, if you sponsor me, I will walk to you to get the money.
Oh, that's I live Fox Hill, that's a far walk.
Drop my car home and then continue walking from there.
Okay.
But I will walk it. Like my cousins from Gambier, who walk all the way to Fox Hill. Mm. I love that story, even though it's not true.
How much for your South ticket?
I don't $12.
Eat okay. And what type of South do you have again?
Chicken, turkey, pig's feet. But tell her what an experience to
eat pig's feet
while watching Aaron souse her feet on the road.
I took her to Jamaica to the family's plantation thing, right? And say, we have some curry goat. If you see how that woman look at me, I say, how can you not like curry goat? The look that woman give me to say goat ain't supposed
to... She used to have a pet goat?
I don't think
so. Oh, no, she don't think you're supposed to curry the goat.
She don't believe you're supposed to eat goat.
At all. She had a friend named Goatee.
I even tried to give her some chicken foot soup, and she didn't eat that either. I said, you don't know what you're missing.
That's more for me.
Yeah, curry chicken foot is the best.
There's no fighting in this family. Oh, you don't like it, that's more for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Mr. Newry, for your support. You guys, please come out and support the South Southern Walkathon for the Hannah Hasty Tynes family this Saturday, April the 6th, 2024, 8 a.m. St. John's College campus. Walkathon starts at 7. And thank you to Mr. Pat Roll for calling in.
Yes, we need to call him. Do you want me to invite him on, or are you going to invite him on?
We both can invite him on same time. Okay. In fact, I think we need to go visit him.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me go drive out there.
Let me drive out there.
Thank you so much, Mr. Roll, for calling in this morning. And thank you for your voice and sharing it with the, not just the Bahamas, the entire world.
I want to hear that journey, you know? Being a singer.
World-class singer.
World-class singer.
One of the Texas
and
said...
And working in these high-end resorts.
Yeah, one of the Texas said that got to be the original of the song, though.
Yeah. No, Pat, it's that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Anyway, have a wonderful day.